WSDQ Dunlap, WEPG South Pittsburgh, The Copperhead, WSDT Soddy Daisy, Chattanooga.
The viewpoints expressed on Liberty Works Radio Network are not necessarily those of the network, its affiliates, or sponsors. This is Liberty Works Radio Network. Now live from coast to coast and around the globe, more real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempfling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. This program tries to expose the truth about subjects that affect American liberty, your liberty. For those that know me or have known me, one of my main issues is the Internal Revenue Service, income tax. It destroys Americans' desire to be successful. You work, they will decline overtime and different things because you might get into a higher tax bracket. And people are afraid of it. You can't file by hand. It gets so complicated. But, I want to eliminate the income tax for everyone. The federal government could get along fine without the income tax if they were following the law. When I talk about the law, I'm talking about the U.S. Constitution, the supreme law of the land. The Constitution made this country. The Constitution created the office of the president and the office of the senators and the House of Representative members that seem to spit on that Constitution on a daily basis. They wouldn't be there without the U.S. Constitution. That is the rule book. It's like the directions of Monopoly or any other thing. This is the rule book for our country, and it is not followed very closely. If we were following the law of the Constitution, we would probably not need 10% of our current budget. The federal government has really only 17 powers listed by law in the Constitution, but they exercise 1,700 or 17,000 powers that they have made up on their own and decided to take from the states. Now, President Trump has done some amazing things. I really enjoyed the shutdown in many ways. I know some people temporarily were hurt by it, but it is temporary. But here's the thing. He closed down the IRS for at least a big portion of it during this shutdown. And I thought that was pretty great. It was like a dream come true. And I thought the IRS agents would be noticing that, hey, we're non-essential personnel. In fact, they sent approximately 800,000 people home where they said we're non-essential. Well, I think if they're non-essential, then why are they there at all? Oh, well, that's me. Talking about the income tax, the Constitution, you can also check out our website at freeenterprisesociety.com, and truth-attack.com has some very interesting things on there about the income tax. We have five attorneys and a former IRS special agent, a gun-carrying agent who used to arrest people, now on our side, showing that the income tax does not even apply to the average individual in this country and probably does not apply to you. You can go to truth-attack.com. You can watch that video in its total length at no charge right now. And it is tax season. You're thinking about filing. You're probably already working. Some of you may be already working on it, but show it to yourself to look at this video and see what's going on with the income tax. I think you'll be very surprised. There's also other projects on there. But the project with these attorneys is called Innocence Revealed, and you can find that on truth-attack.com. We're going to talk maybe about some income tax, but we're going to talk about the U.S. Constitution. We're going to talk about politics some on this program because there's a lot of it going on right now, the wall issue and some other things. And to talk about that today is my guest, Jay. He's a very informed freedom lover. Jay, it's a pleasure to have you join me.
It is. Good to be here.
Well, you are a good observer, and you think about a lot of things, and you have an opinion about a lot of things because you watch these things and you read things. You know, it seems like to me a lot of people are parroting things they hear on the television, and they don't really look up the facts or actually read such things as the Constitution. Trump is being berated for, violating our Constitution, for destroying our country. And a lot of people are saying the same thing, but they've apparently never read the Constitution because he seems to be closer to the Constitution than just about any president for the last 30 years.
Yeah. Well, certainly it seems that way to me. I've been very very proud of the position he's taken on constitutional issues, on moral issues. I'm glad to see that that seems to be his platform.
And here's something I know you feel pretty strongly about. We have the Democrats who are called liberals anyway, and there's a bunch of them call themselves progressives. And progressive sounds like a good word, progress, moving forward, doing good things, and doing something anyway. But these progressives are pretty disturbing to me. And you had some pretty strong opinions on what they're doing. I mean, this is not just socialism. Would you agree?
Well, I think it is social. I think it's Marxist socialism. It's not just a matter of saying, well, we'll work together collectively. They want to impose it, and that is Marxism. And it's not noble. It's not altruistic. It's incredibly, incredibly selfish. And I am sad. It's a sad situation. And I think part of it is that they like to rebrand language. And that's kind of Alinsky's thing, come up with a different term, but it still is the same action. It's abuse. I mean, look at what happened in New York. Those people in the Senate gloating over passing legislation to promote murder, basically, after birth murder of children. So you got late-term abortion with an allowance to commit murder. And they were gloating about it. They were laughing and applauding, patting each other on the back. This is sick. This is outright sick. And so to that extent, it's rebranding, and it bothers me a lot.
I don't even understand the bill and why they would even go that far, and other states are following their suit. To me, it was very barbaric. As a father, I don't understand. I mean, if you were to pass a bill like that, it would have to be in the most dire of circumstances, for maybe the mother's health might be an excuse, but you would do it, and you would do it with the remorse and regret that you had to do something like that. But they're cheering, as you said, celebrating it. And I just don't understand that. I mean, just a minute before my daughter or my son was born, there it's okay with them to kill it. And I just makes me kind of sick.
And that's what I said. It's sickening. It is, and it's all because of an attempt to rebrand language to displace accountability. So in order to achieve a displacement of accountability, they have to change the meaning of terms. And that's, again, part of Marxism. I mean, that's one of the planks come up with a different, get the plebiscite, get the public to think in terms of different meanings so you can achieve an objective, regardless of what the language that would normally be. You look to the Oxford English Dictionary or Webster's or one of those, say, that doesn't matter. What matters is the objective, and the objective, I mean, if you look at the filth like Bernie Sanders or Pelosi, basically what's theirs is theirs and what's yours is theirs too, and they want to force it on you. We have that clown you guys got there in California who says California's going to lead the way. That's another term for insurrection. If we are a country of legislative process, then it's a collective process. You don't just step out and say we're going to lead the way. That's what the South did when they seceded. They said, well, we're just going to go our own way. We're going to lead the way. If you don't like it, you're bad. That's called insurrection.
Governor Gavin Newsom you're talking about.
Oh, yeah, that clown, that guy. The one who was caught in his office in San Francisco with his secretary having an extramarital affair on the desk on a public piece of furniture, right? I mean, this is, don't get me wrong, I'm like any other guy, right? I mean, I got my foibles when it comes to that. But, geez, not on the public dime, please.
I guess that's considered moral and okay here in California.
He lied to the voters. I think he was going to talk about reconsidering that insane go nowhere high speed rail that's cost you guys billions of dollars, and he was going to close that down. But then he caved into the socialists that were involved in the construction. And by the way, I think that was Barbara Boxer's husband. Yeah, Barbara Boxer's husband is the one who's making a ton of money off that. He was a senior contractor and planner in that whole thing. So another, it's just what I said. It's socialism. What's theirs is theirs, and what's yours is theirs too. Only they want to force it on you, which makes it Marxist socialism. So,
Well, the bullet training raises my blood pressure, but that seems, it's a lot of money. And but I, you know, hopefully people are starting to see through that. They're Newsom decided it's not going to work. There's no way to pay for it, but he wants to complete the line from Bakersfield to Merced here in California. And the problem with that is there's half the property's not even bought, is what I'm told, and they haven't laid one piece of track. They already spent all the money. The federal government's going to want its money that it put in back because it didn't finish it. And what are they going to do with it? I mean, he wants to continue that even though he's not going to finish the rest of it, which would be impossible anyway, but what's the point? Bakersfield to Merced, hey.
I'm not well, too familiar with
not
the
from
demographics.
The area. It's ridiculous. It's like,
You know, I mean, the high-speed rail, if you look at Japan, there's, you know, none of them are over a couple hundred miles, and or China. They're very short distance. They, I think, and I this is just conjecture on my part, I think they're, you know, people movers, of course, but they're pulling people from a rural area into an area where there's manufacturing. I don't know what Merced has or what Bakersfield has in form of manufacturing. Agribusiness is obvious. You know, you've got the big valley there and just the breadbasket of the West Coast. So that's obvious. And I don't know too many farmers who are going to jump on a high-speed train every morning and, you know, go out to the field. So yeah, it does kind of it challenges the rationale. But that's the legacy of Jerry Brown.
Yes.
You know, the bohemian, let's get loaded and just we'll all dream it up and we'll let the taxpayers pay for it.
Well,
we'll just take the money from them and do what we want to do because we're smarter than they are. We know better.
They did an audit on the bullet train, and billions of dollars are missing and unaccounted for. I assume Brown knows where some of that is because he's now retired for life.
He's not even living in California, as I recall. I think he moved to Minnesota or something like that. So.
Well, anyway, the bullet train is also old technology. That's decades old. There's newer technology that's better and doesn't use up all the land like it's doing here. And they have destroyed farmland. Lots of tens of thousands of acres of fruit trees are gone. They've torn down businesses. In Fresno, the whole corridor along 99, the motels and a lot of the gas stations are all gone. That's, I mean, that was a lot of taxes for Fresno. They're not going to get back.
And that's what he did. I mean, if you remember his first reign of terror where he was spraying everybody with Malathion. Remember, you guys? They had those helicopters flying over. They were going to get rid of the fruit flies. So he was having them. Remember that? Spraying all you guys with pesticides? You remember that?
At least I don't know however the listeners are hearing you, but you kind of got your voice went kind of weird here on me. I can't hardly understand you.
Testing, 1, 2.
Yeah, you're cutting out here. I mean,
you know, let me call back in.
I'm back or pick it up. I don't know if you're on the speaker. To me, that was one of the best speeches I've seen done on State of the Union. I mean, I really liked the, you know. Okay. I really liked his State of the Union. I liked the fact that, you know, he talked about walls. You know, Pelosi says they're immoral, but, you know, if you look at her house on Google, she's got a big wall around her house. And she probably has armed guards behind that wall, I mean, I'm guessing. Because she thinks she's important. And I mean, well, I guess she's as important as anyone else, but I don't think she's really any more important than my family. And, you know, if she tore the wall down and then left the front door open. Are you back?
I'm back.
Okay. Well, I started talking about the State of the Union address that Trump did, which I thought was really good, and how Pelosi thinks walls are immoral. And of course, you look at her house, she's got a big wall, and she should tear that down if it's so immoral and stuff. So, well, anyway, I hear some music in the background. We're at our first break. So you're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Jay, who's now back with us. Yeah, he's a liberty and freedom-minded individual. And we're going to be talking about the Internal Revenue Service, maybe, and Trump and the politics of the day. Stay tuned for more after this break.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on LibertyWorks Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart-to-heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school, clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart-to-heart with my dad.
If it were a real heart-to-heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart-to-heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
And now, for the Institute on the Constitution, here's Michael Anthony Perutka with The American View.
Many Americans are angry about the health care takeover that Obama has tried to ram down their throats. This is not surprising. Many claim that the Obama scheme is a disaster and a very bad idea for America's future. We agree that it is a bad plan and an unconstitutional plan, but these are not the same thing. To say that something is a bad idea and to say it is unconstitutional is to say two different things. Let me explain. Suppose you invite me over to your house for dinner, and while I'm there, I notice that your window treatments are a bit shabby and that your furniture does not match your wall colors. So the next day, while you're not at home, I break into your house and change the windows and the walls. For the sake of argument, let's say I actually make it look better than it did before I broke in. I'm still guilty of the crime of breaking and entering in trespass. Do you see that even if it was a good idea to change the decor, it was a crime because it was outside of my authority to do it? Now, Rush Limbaugh and Mark Levin are screaming that the government takeover of the healthcare system is a very bad idea, and they are right. But even if it was a good idea, it would be a criminal scheme all the same. The Constitution does not grant the federal government any authority to meddle in our health care. The operative clauses to look at here are Article 1, Section 8, and the 10th Amendment. It will only take you about 6 minutes to read and understand that Obamacare is more than just a bad idea for American health care. It is a dangerous and tyrannical trespass into American homes and lives. This is Michael Anthony Perutka for Institute on the Constitution, bringing you The American View.
This is Rob McQuay for the Institute on the Constitution, and you've just finished hearing Michael Anthony Perutka's commentary on The American View. The views and opinions expressed are not necessarily those of this radio station, and we welcome any comments and suggestions you may care to offer by emailing us at michael@theamericanview.com. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute on the Constitution's work, you can find out more about who we are and what we do at theamericanview.com.
Is Liberty Works Radio Network enlightening you to the real problems we face in our constitutional republic? Has it helped you to better understand what has to be done to save America from becoming a third world nation? If so, do your part in spreading this voice of truth and enlightenment to your fellow Americans. Join the Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. Go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com for details.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
She knows a hollow from a double up. She does snapbacks, backsides, shoots the curl. Bethany Hamilton knows everything about surfing. She just didn't know about the shark. But just months after the attack, and with only one arm, the 13-year-old surfs again. And now she's ripping it better than ever. So next time life puts a little fear in you, just think of Bethany Hamilton hanging 10 on top of a heavy wave. That's real courage. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. now live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is aired every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. I want to mention how great Liberty Works Radio Network is. I think this network and networks like it will be the mainstream media. I mean, come on. CNN, MSNBC, those networks are a waste of time to listen to. And so if you like this program or others that are on this network, I hope you can support it. This is a listener-supported network, LWRN.net, and you can leave a one-time donation. Hopefully you can leave a monthly, set up something monthly there, even if you want to. All right. Well, we have a call-in number if you want to call in and talk to our guest today, and you can also bring up new subjects if you like, but we're talking about politics and a little bit, and then we're talking about the progressives, you know, the socialist takeover of some of our institutions and what we can maybe do about that. But the call-in number is 410-848-9191. That's 410-848-9191. I'll say you're welcome to call in with questions for my guest. We're back with my guest, Jay, and he's a very informed freedom lover. We had some technical problems here before break, but I think that's all resolved. And so, anyway, before break, we started talking about Trump and a little bit on his State of the Union. And I noticed some interesting things, and you were talking about some of the things you noticed. But one of the things I noticed when he said, and I like this line where he says, we would never be a socialist state, and I know we are pretty heavily socialist in some ways, but what I noticed about that, I mean, you watch the thing, he's talking about unemployment, and all the Democrats sit down and scowl. I don't know why. I mean, that's insulting. And they talk about, you know, better jobs and the higher wages, and they're just sitting down with a sour look on their face, which is, again, insulting to me. But when he said we're not going to be socialist, Pelosi and Schumer both stood up and clapped on that one, while most of the other Democrats, particularly the new ones in white there, were scowling still because I guess they consider themselves socialist. That was one of my comments. You had some comments on that speech, too.
Well, yeah, I liked it. I liked his precision in language. As I said, he didn't dumb down the issues of behavior. He called murder, murder. He didn't say somebody died or somebody was killed. He places the blame for people's actions where it needs to be placed. Somebody I was talking to that had thought that the whole white robe thing was very childish. Thought it was almost, they said, even racist. But, you know, who am I? And, you know, something really got me was his speech in El Paso, where the hardworking Latino immigrants who have come here and gone through the process got so angry with, I think it was CNN, they actually attacked a CNN reporter. They were so fed up with the insanity, the dribble, the socialist diatribe that's coming from those rags. And I guess it's had some effect, because I think the New York Times, I was reading something that said the New York Times fired one of their comic strip writers for making derogatory comments about Trump in one of the cartoons. So maybe it's having effect. Maybe they're starting to see that there's a lot of merit to the line that says we're fed up with this socialist agenda that we've been struggling under for the last three, if not, you know, maybe half dozen administrations. I was listening to the intermission there with the comment about the affordable, I call it the Unaffordable Health Care Act, but the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals already said it's unconstitutional, said that it is patently, wholly unconstitutional. And it seems to me like if Congress really wanted to do something constructive, they would just repeal it, lock, stock, and barrel, just get rid of it. It was, just for what it's worth, so your listeners understand, most of the verbiage for that, if you look at it, most of the verbiage for that was taken directly from the same medical plan verbiage that was used in Germany after the rise of the National Socialist Workers' Party, the Nazi Party, during the late 20s and early 30s. The idea that everybody was going to contribute, they're going to be forced into contributing regardless, and if you didn't like it, you know, the ultimate result was, well, we'll just kill you and we'll take the gold out of your teeth and take the glasses in your hair and we'll just use that too. But it's the same verbiage, the same, your Goebbels would have loved it. So, you know, it's over as far as I'm concerned. I know people, hard-working retirees and people, even active people, dentists, you know, people in the federal park system who have, they're just at the point where they're just ready to just walk out. They're so sick of it. It's time that I think that the media start placing the blame where it belongs, and that's back on the Marxist socialists. And we saw their whole conduct, that childish, insane conduct during his speech. So.
Well, I like what you're saying, and that would be pretty great. I consider the media part of the problem. I mean, most networks don't do anything but negative stuff on Trump. And if you watch one of those channels, like MSNBC, you might not like Trump either, if you just took their word for things, which is, I've never seen it quite like this. They were pretty hard on Reagan and some of the other guys, but I've never seen it like this. Even late-night television, the jokes, they're not even funny anymore. It's just rude and crude.
That is a correct statement. It's not even humorous anymore. It is an indication of the base mindset of the Marxist socialist. Crude, rude, imposition. That's a very good way of putting it. And you're right. It's gotten to the point where, I mean, you know, I miss Johnny Carson. I miss people with some cerebral content. You know, it's like they're just this childish, rude, base material. And I think some of it goes back actually to the universities. The people who are coming out of the universities with liberal arts degrees and journalism and things like that are not challenged to do real work. They're challenged to spew opinion. It's sad. It is. Well, no, it's beyond sad. It's becoming intolerable. What happened in El Paso is a good example of it. Look at the Bundys. You want to talk about intolerable? Look at what happened with the Bundys. People finally drew down firearms, lawfully drew down firearms on illegal conduct of agents, of federal agents. They were tried three times by three different juries and acquitted. That tells you something. That tells you that the American people are absolutely 100% behind Trump, even though Trump wasn't in office at the time. It was the harbinger. It was the harbinger of what was to come with Trump. That they're fed up with Marxist socialist agenda percolating through the various federal and state governments. They're willing to acquit people, dozens and dozens of people who show up with hardware and pointed the business end of it at law enforcement that are committing crimes, law enforcement committing crimes. And that's what happened with the Bundys. And so the agenda has been shifted a little bit. The narrative, has been shifted a little bit. They backed off on that, and they're trying to use the civilian forum of the media as a mechanism to try to shift this whole thing. And as we saw in El Paso, it ain't flying. The hardworking people who pushed wheelbarrows, people who do serious work. They work 12 hours a day if they own their own business. They're working, 2 hours or an hour in the morning and 3 or 4 hours in the evening, and then 8 hours during the day providing a service. And then the two in the morning and the three in the afternoon are simply to do paperwork for the federal and state government. It's killing them. Yeah. Killing them. And the whole idea of dragging the dregs of the world through the border just because it's kind is insane. It's not kind. It's hurting our children. It's hurting the hardworking people who have gone through the process. It's hurting them tremendously. So that's what a border's for, you know, it's to protect those kind of things, and Trump knows it. I'm sorry.
I'm very upset that they can't give him. He said he needs $25 billion. He's only asking for $5 billion. You know, a lot of people, I can't even really conceive of $1 billion or even $1 trillion. But if we took their budget of $4.2 trillion, knocked it down to be a $100 bill, I mean, all that Trump is asking for is like 10 cents.
Yep.
For this wall. And they wasted, they probably spent almost that much on the shutdown that the Democrats caused.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Stuff.
I absolutely agree with you. And
but, you know, the late-night television, I mean, Trump's comical. There'd be a lot of funny stuff about him. But that's not what they do, you know. Jim Acosta.
Well, you know what's interesting? Here's something that's interesting. If Trump is such a bad guy, how come none of his employees, if you look at him, oh, he's a bad guy, he's hurt people. None of his employees have been interviewed or said anything bad about him. Indeed, as a businessman, he's used bankruptcy as a tool to deal with investors. And investors are risk takers. Those are people who put capital into a process and, you know, they're willing to give a try, and they know they could lose their money. And yes, in certain financiers, those kind of things came up, and he did file bankruptcy and dealt with them. But not one of his employees ever got stiffed for a wage. Not one of them. And that's...
You're right.
You know, yeah, absolutely. But you don't see that in the media. Uh-uh. No. That, so I don't blame those guys down in El Paso for getting hot under the collar with CNN. I think it's about time.
Even
you know,
people that work
really
for him in his house, cooks and stuff, all they just are very appreciative of him. Unlike Hillary, everybody that's worked for Hillary has complained about her, throwing things and cursing at him. And
well, she's a vile creature, absolutely crude, rude, vile creature, self-centered. She was at the heart of the savings and loan meltdown. Remember, you know, the Whitewater?
Oh, yeah. Well.
Rose Law Firm? Yeah. She had been working in the Nixon administration, and she had told what's-her-face, the secretary, to erase the tapes. It was after that administration she left the Republican sphere of influence and went over to the Democrats.
Well, one of the problems that I see, it doesn't seem, you know, Trump can't just come in and fire everybody. Dr. Carson in the HUD, the ones... He's trying to do some good things, and he can't do it because all the people around him appointed by Obama are still there. He's got a good.
Well,
you know,
that's not true. Hillary Clinton went in and fired everybody on the staff of the White House there when her husband got in office, and they put in their own people. They laid them off. They laid off 284 people. It was on the news. You know, they talked about it, and she just put all of her own people in there. Some of them are probably still there, for all we know. But you can, there's certainly government jobs. You talk about the VA or those that has some issues, and there are ways of putting mechanisms in place so it's performance based. And if you can't meet certain performance criteria, then you get, you know, pigeonholed or something like that. There's ways of dealing with that so it's performance based. But as far as the White House is concerned, that would have been the first thing I would have done. Anything that ever had anything to do with the last three administrations, out, gone, history.
Well, I would be talking about the executive level of the FBI and Justice Department, walk them all out, the whole floor.
Yeah.
Start over again. You know, and I don't fully
buy
the
thing. That was the brainchild of J. Edgar Hoover, and he was the one who came up with the Library of Congress system. He was the one who invented the Library of Congress system to replace the Dewey Decimal. That was history. So, I mean, that's used in public schools. But the Library of Congress was invented by J. Edgar Hoover. So because he did that, and then he came up with the idea of having an adjunct to the U.S. Marshals. Originally, the idea was to have this adjunct to the U.S. Marshals. And they were employed along as the G-men with the IRS to enforce the prohibition. And that's where they got their reputation, as being, you know, great, we're going to force. And it's tax, you know, it's tax, it's mercantile law. That was part of the U.S. Constitution. But then it got expanded, and you know, things happened. We had depression and all that stuff, and the Dust Bowl, and people just basically in survival mode didn't realize how it overstepped its jurisdictional authority. Even now, the FBI operating outside the states of the Union or the territories, you know, operating in Russia and different places, like that is insane to me. Maybe the CIA should be doing it. Maybe the military, you know, the intelligence should be doing that.
Well,
I just don't understand the acquiescence of these foreign governments.
Got to interrupt you there. I hear
music
coming up. We got a hard break coming up. You're listening to the Truth Attack Hour on Liberty Works Radio Network. We're talking with Jay. We're talking about Trump, politics, liberalism, progressivism. Stay tuned for more after this break.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
It's not easy being a veteran.
Coming back from Iraq or Afghanistan, not everyone understands that.
You don't feel the same.
Join us at communityofveterans.org
and connect to others who are going through the same thing.
Because no one knows what it's like to come back unless they were there.
Brought to you by Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America.
I know what you're going through.
I've been there.
This is Randall Yearout on Leaders. Our government leaders swear an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States before they're allowed to exercise the powers of their offices. This oath automatically requires those office holders to act as a check on usurped or abused power among those within any branch of the government. Why is it, then, that when the Congress assumes for itself powers reserved by the Constitution to the states or the people, the President doesn't object with a defense of the Constitution and refuse to execute unlawful legislation? Or when the President creates Soviet-style czars to violate the public rights, why doesn't the Congress speak up? Or when the court begins striking down the laws of the Union states in violation of the public rights and in favor of international norms, why don't the other two branches bring misdemeanor charges against those offending judges? It appears that our leaders in government think that a non-intervention policy on another branch's behavior is more virtuous than executing the oath they took to support and defend the Constitution. James Madison said in Federalist Paper 51 that if men were angels, no government would be necessary, and that if angels were our governors, no constitution would be necessary. Our constitution is necessary, however, and our public officials are proving to us the very reason this is so. The constitution outlines the restricted powers we, the people, gave to our governors. For our leaders to disobey them is to break the supreme law of the land, which is to be dealt with by impeachment and removal from office. I think the only way to effectively ensure the reinstatement of our American form of law and government is to replace nearly every last congressman with one who will honor his oath.
This constitutional message has been brought to you by the members of the Constitution Party. Visit us at www.constitutionparty.com.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Thomas Jefferson, in his writings, left us many warnings about corrupt bankers and politicians. I place economy among the first and most important virtues, and public debt as the greatest of dangers to be feared. To preserve our independence, we must not let our rulers load us with perpetual debt. We must make our choice between economy and liberty or profusion and servitude. If we can prevent the government from wasting the labors of the people under the pretense of caring for them, they will be happy. What our country needs is a wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, and which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it had earned. Jefferson warned that ignorant and free can never be. He was a true defender of the American dream.
The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network.
I pledge allegiance to the Constitution of the American States United and to the Republic which it created, implementing God's governmental plan for man and asking his blessing for its observance, which will provide liberty and justice for all. For all. For all. For all. For all.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Dad, where did the clouds come from?
Well, buddy, that's a good question.
Is this worm a boy or a girl?
Why are carrots orange?
Actually,
Dad, why don't you have any hair on your head?
How do birds fly?
Why is dirt brown?
Why can't I fly?
Are we there yet?
You may not have all the answers, but if they're comfortable coming to you now when the questions are small, they'll come to you with the bigger questions later.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Give your family everything. Give them your time.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting. live from coast to coast and around the globe. More real talk, the kind you want, on Liberty Works Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Truth Attack Hour. I am Steve Hempling, Director of Free Enterprise Society. Truth Attack Hour is air every day from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time on Liberty Works Radio Network. On this program, we try to expose the truth about subjects that affect American liberty, your liberty. You may write this number down. If it's a call-in number, it's 410-848-9191, 410-848-9191. You're welcome to call in with questions from my guest. We're back with my guest, Jay. He's a very informed freedom lover. We're talking about progressivism. We're talking about Trump and some weird things happening in our political system with some of our elected officials. One of the things I want to go back to here is just the idea of progressivism. Because to me, it's, you know, there's a lot of terms for it. You were using the word, Jay, of Marxism. And a lot of people just don't understand these terms anymore. You know, when I went to school, we learned these were bad things, socialism and communism. And I don't know that people are learning these things today because the young people are really embracing socialism, it seems like. And I go to universities with displays and things on the Constitution, and there's a group of them that generally like what we're doing, but a lot of the college students are very, very hostile toward the Constitution, which concerns me. I mean, where would they get that from except the universities themselves? It's doubtful the parents are teaching them those kind of things. Are you still there?
You're right. No, I'm here. I'm here. You're absolutely right. I mean, look at, remember Angela Davis and the Weather Underground of the 60s, the Students for Democrat Society and the Radical Weather. Well, you know, she was involved in the murder of a judge and two people in San Quentin, and yet she worked at Berkeley, continued to work at Berkeley for a number of years. I think she just recently retired, but it is sickening the kind of sacrifice that people have made in support of the U.S. Constitution to have that kind of filth, that abject filth, percolating through the school system. And yet, you know, there it is. So.
Well, it was a lot different for me, and I think we need to get back to that. I don't know exactly what to do about that. Everybody says that's First Amendment, and I'm not sure about that. It seems to me that they're teaching anti-American revolution things at the universities. There must, you know, seems like that should not be allowed. I mean, most of these professors, a lot of them, they come out of school right into a professor position, has never worked a day in their life on, you know, any, you know, real job. They may have a degree in economics, but they never exercise any real economics. Things are given to them for the universities and grants and all this stuff, and they think they're great. And I don't think that myself any longer. So,
well, I don't think it's great. Not by my standards, anyway. I think it's, like I said, I think it's nauseating to me.
I'm hoping that you're right on some of your comments earlier that the, you know, vast majority of Americans really are, you know, smarter than what the media thinks they are, because the media, these politicians, think they represent the people, and I don't get it. Why would working class people vote for someone who's going to take away their jobs and stuff, like the coal industry unions and stuff, when it came to Hillary? So I just don't get it. But we can turn to something different. Let's go to maybe talk about the shutdown a little bit. I was really happy when the IRS was closed down. I don't know about you, and I noticed that for 5 weeks, you know, the country did not fall apart. Yeah. And I
wasn't
like
a surprise
to
me.
Closed down permanently.
Yeah, it wasn't a surprise to me at all.
If you talk to the IRS, of course, we can't get along without them, and you know, a lot of government agencies now feel that way. That even the police, so they're the blue thin blue line that keeps us all alive. Without them, we would be in trouble. I'm not convinced of that either, because we would serve up some justice at some point, and some of those guys wouldn't be keeping bothering everybody. But otherwise, I don't necessarily have a problem with the police. It's just the idea that, you know, we can't get along with government. The government is there to serve the people, And somewhere along the line, most people, many people in government, have forgotten that.
I think in terms of what is the language, and a police is really a policy officer. They are officers of municipal corporations. That was part of the bad side of FDR's raw deal. The idea was to matriculate money into the community at the time, which needed capital, in order to promote the growth and the well-being of the community and stimulate the economy. That was the whole verbiage behind the what I call the raw deal. The municipalities, they were townships, and you and I, we've had this conversation before. Townships are not lawful entities, so they can't borrow money, they can't issue bonds, they can't do things that are capital driven. So in order to be able to do that, the promotion of communities, townships becoming incorporated, was kicked in. And that's why the term police officer, they're policy officers. It's very clear. And I prefer to have sheriffs. I prefer to have sheriffs and deputies because they answer to the electorate. As a matter of fact, you've had a guy, Max, Sheriff Max, been on there, who's won the issue about the cost factor for the assault weapons ban thing, and he was supposed to enforce it. And he said, you can't force me to do that. And the Supreme Court actually took a step further, and they said that the sheriffs are the highest form of law enforcement. Why? Because they answer to the electorate. They're elected. That's what this republic's about. So I don't share the same kind of... I know that people mean good. I know that the law enforcement, we do need law enforcement because, otherwise it would be the Wild Wild West. And it may be that way already. But I don't share the same affinity, if you will, for corporate police officers. I'd rather see sheriffs and deputies and, that kind of republic-based law enforcement.
Well, the IRS... you probably know that I'm not real fan of the IRS or the income tax, for that matter. And if I had my way, the income tax would be gone this afternoon completely. And I think that would create a financial boon. Trump's small tax cut, well, small, but his tax cut, the government is actually collecting more money so far under that tax cut. And the Democrats just seem to refuse to even acknowledge that fact. Why is that? Because companies are coming back. They're building more factories. They're expanding instead of contracting.
It's
free market is an amazing thing that a lot of legislators don't have a clue about, apparently.
Part of the disdain, I think, for the free market is that, we talked about the colleges and the universities and what have you. A lot of them are enamored with some of the more esoteric writings. Das Kapital from Karl Marx, for example, which is this running diatribe, just babbling diatribe about his concepts of what money is. And for some reason, that's lauded as being a worthy document to read. Most of the people from the former Soviet Union who read it wish it had never been published. But the point I'm getting at is that this seems to be consistently perpetuated by the incompetence of the liberal arts bent that we see. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that liberal arts per se are bad. I'm simply saying that there needs to be some balance with the reasonable tenor of what it's about, and not ginning up some sort of pie in the sky wish and hope that it's something altruistic. The bottom line with all of that type of stuff is to steal. I mean, look at Venezuela. Venezuela should be one of the richest countries in the world because of their oil reserves, and yet you had this Marxist socialist self-centered dictator who ran it in the ground. Literally ran it in the ground. And now people are starving. There is no way that Marxist socialism pays off. That's it. Socialism may, if we look at, you know, the Republic of Switzerland, for example, we may be able to say, well, there's some merit there. It seems as though it works for them. And I contend that's because it's on a very small scale comparatively. The community, again, sets the standards. People in those communities, they have cantons. The cantons are part of the republic system, and so it works for them. Great. But as far as our system is concerned, the way the United States works, it'll never fly. It won't fly. People are too independent. They're in love with their independence. So, again, the whole concept of this Marxist socialist promotion, I don't see it. I just don't see it. Ain't going to fly.
Well, they think they got a lot of supporters, but to me, they're very adversarial. They want to shut down the engines that make our economy work. Fossil fuels, they want to end it. Coal, Obama tried to end it. He put a lot of coal companies out of business, and they're still just getting back on their feet under Trump. Coal is fairly cheap. Electricity is cheap. They have catalytic stoves and burners and furnaces now with the coal that very almost no smoke comes out of them with burning coal. I mean, it doesn't make sense to just not use that. Sun and stuff is great. And the tech, personally, I think the free market would come up with alternatives. And we've kind of shown that here already. America is the cleanest country, manufacturing-wise, probably
anywhere in the world. That presumes that the people involved in the termination or the limitations of coal in the United States were altruistic. That's the ruse that I've been talking about here. Socialists love to rebrand things. If you look at the reality of it is, they changed the source to India, to parts of Poland. So coal is being mined in those areas now, which debased the economy, the coal economy in the United States. Your point's valid. They didn't need to do that. There were already scrubbers in place. Most of the energy plants, the electrical energy plants that were coal burning, had scrubbers that the air coming out of them was just cleaner than it was when it went in. And so you have this lie, this absolute abysmal lie that's been promoted by the Marxist socialists that they know better than you and your family, they know better than everybody else, when in fact what they're doing is lining their pockets. Look at the way Obama, the last three administrations, look at the way they pandered to the European Union, to European interests. They weren't Americans. They didn't give a damn about America, the Republic. It was all about them. We've talked about this before. We talked about Hillary. You know, it's just this ego-driven Marxist socialist attitude that we're going to sell the people on anything that'll get us votes and get us in office, and, oh, by the way, we're going to line our pockets in the process. And by the way, we've never worked hard. We never had to push a wheelbarrow, never had to work in a construction, never had to do a part-time job while we went to school. So they have no concept, no empathy at all. Mr. Trump's done that. Mr. Trump has worked. He earned his money. God bless him for that. And we have some people in Congress who are who have some of the various states, but by far and large, the ones in the white robes that we saw, those are all come on. Never worked a day in their life, an honest day in their life. It's selfish, self-centered, ego-driven, and so the only thing they can promote is the idea that we'll give you something for nothing. We'll just give you something for nothing. Look at that. Yeah. Who's that idiot gal from New York? The one,
Cortez.
Cortez, yeah. Occasional cortex is, I think, what Michael Savage calls her. She is stupid. She is as stupid as a knot in a log about what money is and where it comes from and what it takes to support an economy. And but she still spews the pablum. And people,
she's not the only one.
Yeah, you're right about that. That's true.
Yeah, well, I really appreciate Trump that he represents this country and not the other ones. And I think he represents California better than the governor here. Brown spent more time in Europe complaining about Trump and the environment than helping people here.
Well,
all right. Well, that's the music there. I'm sorry to say the program is over. We just got started.
got me all wound
thank,
up.
Thank
well,
you
maybe next
us.
Week or the week after.
I'll be hosting this program every Wednesday. Join us on Truth Attack Hour. Also, check out truth-attack.com and freeenterprisesociety.com for getting rid of that income tax.
Join the Cavalcade to Freedom. The Cavalcade backed to constitutional government. Climb on board and do your part to proclaiming liberty throughout the land. Join and support Liberty Works Radio Network Fellowship. To view the strategic plan, to spread the word, and to get information on joining, go to www.libertyworksradionetwork.com or call the fellowship office at 410-857-5444. That's 410-857-5444 to join the Cavalcade to Freedom. America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can. The sunrise.
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all. Throw away the Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in their grave. The government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good. Soon we'll have to eat our dishes.
Delicious!
Oh, who can be a failure?
In so many ways.
And instead of getting fired, hey, we'll give ourselves a raise. The government.
America. Born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.
Determination. Pass it on. Brooke Ellison is a surprising person.
When I was 11 years old, I was hit by a car and no one expected me to live.
She surprised people by living.
I've been paralyzed from the neck down and on a ventilator since that time.
And she surprised them by going to college.
Tomorrow, I will graduate from Harvard.
Determination. Pass it on.
America, born to freedom. The Liberty Revolution is on. Liberty Works Radio Network. Truth in broadcasting.